Jed Horn, literally in the middle of the presidential motorcade in New Orleans this afternoon. Thanks for coming back on the Paul Harris Show this afternoon.
Well, it's a privilege. Thanks for having me.
A woman just called in and said, why can't we find some way to rebuild your city without having the poorest people in the parts of town that are most affected by a storm like Katrina?
Well, the historical pattern of settlement here is that the lowest-lying areas were settled last, reasonably enough. And I think what happened was the poor people in this city of New Orleans, they're often as not African-American, got the short end of the stick. They came late to home ownership, and they were the first to be hit by these devastating tidal surges.
Would there be someplace else in the New Orleans area to move them to so that you don't have to fix up an area that, you know, should another storm come, they would be the most vulnerable again?
Of course. What we need to do is build flood-resistant housing, hurricane-proofed housing. We need to go higher. We need to have flood-through ground floors, perhaps parking garages on the ground, and then build up above that as they do in other cities. I would recommend that the HUD, the Federal Housing Authority, do just that as they contemplate rebuilding the city's public housing, something that's been on their agenda for quite a while.
In fact, yesterday, the Federal Housing Department announced a U-turn on that policy, saying it was wrong not to rebuild the low-income housing right away.
Well, but the question then is, what is right away? If they commit to the sort of Hope 6 programs that have been successful in some applications here, that can still take years. They are going to open up some of the old housing stock that they don't much like, but I think that's probably the smart thing to do under the circumstances. I'm inclined to agree that we don't want those old housing project style communities because they were not healthy communities, but near term, short term, on an emergency basis, and until we can get better public housing, I think we do need to reactivate those old housing clusters.
Jed, Don Powell, who is the Bush administration's coordinator of Gulf Coast Rebuilding, said on Sunday, "I think we're in good shape. There's no question in my mind we're ready." He was referring to the levee system there in New Orleans. What's the local reaction to that?
The local reaction is going to be to say, yeah, we're ready for a Category 3 storm that will probably blow those levees down. What people need here, you know, there's an irony here, because the federal government said one thing from the very beginning, and it made a lot of sense to me, which was that Louisiana and New Orleans needs to speak with one voice, needs to get its act together, needs to get beyond the political squabbling. And there was, if nothing else, one agreement, one basis of absolute unanimity, which was we need a state-of-the-art flood defense. They've built one in Holland. We can build one here. That means a Category 5 flood defense. And to date, they have not committed to do that. Bush today said something welcome. President Bush said that he wanted to throw his weight behind an effort to give Louisiana a dedicated share of offshore oil royalties, which we've certainly long since been fighting for. And that might give us the opportunity to finance these needed improvements. President Bush may have to go a lot farther than just a speech in New Orleans to make that happen. He's got a lot of entrenched Republican resistance to giving us our fair share of those oil royalties, and he's going to have to spend the capital politically to make that happen. It must happen. The city cannot be simply patched back together in the way that Don Powell is describing. An otherwise fine gentleman and a very helpful friend of Louisiana. But on that question, I think he invites a certain amount of ridicule here in the city.
Is the number one problem money?
The money is there. I mean, certainly the money has to be allocated by Congress, but Congress also has to direct the Army Corps to do whatever the Army Corps does. The Army Corps, in all fairness, can only do what Congress tells it to do. We have to hope they do it right. In this instance, they didn't. They built flawed designs and inadequate levees, even under the mandates of Congress. But Congress has to allocate the money and then further direct the Corps to build this kind of flood protection. Everybody knows how to do it, and the Dutch, if we've forgotten how, we taught the Dutch can now remind us and teach us how to build so-called leaky levees and storm barriers of a type that can be swung into place, and that has to happen, or else New Orleans is simply going to have another storm and another flood of this same devastating intensity.
News Talk 1120 KMOX. It's Paul Harris talking with Jed Horn, Metro Editor of the Times-Picayune, the big newspaper in New Orleans. I'm sure that in covering this story, you're covering more than just what's going on in New Orleans, but also in the outlying areas. Are there ghost towns in Louisiana and Mississippi now?
There are parts of New Orleans that are ghost towns, and that's what's so disturbing. Vast sections of the newer areas of the city, the so-called New Orleans East and sections of that sort, where you can drive for a very, very long distance without seeing a house that's being revived. And then farther down the river, in outlying parishes, Plaquemine Parish, St. Bernard Parish, it's a scene of absolute, it's a moonscape with crumpled houses dotted here and there. There were five houses in all of St. Bernard Parish that were not damaged by flooding.
Mm.
And that's a parish where I think they had a housing stock of 36,000 structures.
Are there people still living in shelters?
Shelters, I'm not sure we have anybody still in a, you know, a sort of a Superdome kind of arrangement, but we have many, many people still displaced. We have many, many people, of course, living in these temporary trailers that were brought in by FEMA and unfortunately are very, very vulnerable to wind and storm conditions, so that if we do get even tropical weather, let alone a hurricane, all of those structures are going to have to be abandoned early on, and they may disintegrate.
Whatever happened to all of the trailers that were sitting there, the tens of thousands of them that were the federal government had taken them to one spot and said, we can't move them in because that's a floodplain and we would just be endangering more lives. Whatever happened to those trailers?
They're still sitting there. I drive past them on weekends when I go up into Mississippi for the little country air and recreation. They're vast, vast fields of them. I don't know whether the demand here, I mean, there are people here who are still clamoring for trailers, don't get me wrong. Whether there's still demand for all of those trailers, I don't know. The federal government, in its wisdom, bought them and then decided that they were unsafe in a floodplain, as I'm sure they are. It was a further sign that the Department of Homeland Security is anything but a heads-up kind of an organization that's going to protect us from terrorism if they can't even protect us from a hurricane.
Give me a sense of the political landscape there. You got Senator Landrieu, you got Governor Blanco, you got Ray Nagin, who will be around for quite a while. Is the blame by the locals being put on any of those people, or is it all anti-Bush, or what is it?
Well, Bush provides a handy lightning rod for some of our blame game maneuvers down here. But, you know, I think we've gotten beyond that. I think there's a certain amount of uneasiness with Nagin because he seems so sort of loose-lipped and inclined to say things that just don't seem to be very helpful or constructive.
As he proved the other night with his comment about Ground Zero in New York.
Ground Zero, big old hole in the ground, as he proved with the Chocolate City statement that I frankly didn't think was all that obnoxious, but it certainly did not impress the convention industry down here. I think, though, that my analysis is that actually one of the people, I don't know if she'll survive re-election because incumbency is a hard thing, you know, after a disaster, but I think Governor Blanco actually came into her own after a shaky start and during the legislative session. In league with Don Powell, who turned out to be a more resourceful man than we first expected him to, this is the president's liaison to the Gulf South, she pushed through an agenda of legislation that resulted in really radical reformation of some of the ways we've done business down here. She consolidated the levee boards, a traditional focus of corruption and patronage. Bills were passed that will give Louisiana voters a referendum, on and New Orleans voters in particular, a referendum on cleaning up some of our foolish government structures, redundancies, sinecures, bailiwicks, expensive and needless organs of government. The school system was effectively taken over by the state. It remains to be seen if they do better with it than the city did, but surely something had to happen. It was one of the worst school systems in the United States. So I think credit is due to Blanco and to the people that she has surrounded herself with, whether she's coming up with the bright ideas or they are, she's listening to them, and she's proven able as an administrator and as a politician to get some of the difficult stuff through the legislature.
Last question for you, Jed. The president today and earlier has said in New Orleans there are signs of hope and recovery everywhere. Is he right?
He is right. You know, I spent a year following the lives of these people who comprised my book, Breach of Faith, people who had been flooded out of their homes, people who had been raped, people who had been had all manner of indignities visited on them. And the astonishing thing to me, I had no idea how this was going to turn out. I started writing in September. And the amazing thing was to realize long about springtime that these people are coming back. They will not be betrayed by the federal government or by the weather. They are going to rebuild this city, and progress is being made. We need continuing support, but this is an irrepressible city. It is a beautiful city, and I think we're going to see it come back gangbusters.
The book is called Breach of Faith, Hurricane Katrina and the Near Death of a Great American City. We talked about it a month and a half ago on the show, and it was only appropriate to bring its author back on today on the one-year anniversary of Katrina blowing away his town. Jed Horn, Metro Editor of the Times-Picayune, live from New Orleans here on the Paul Harris Show. Thank you for your time today.
Thanks so much, Paul.
This is News Talk 1120 KMOX.